You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio this month, as I am every month, with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Suzanne Bjornsson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Together, they represent both sides of the Columbia in terms of services for seniors. And every month on this show, we talk about topics that are relevant to senior citizens and their families. And today we're going to talk about the topic of scams and how, well, scams get targeted at everyone, but especially at seniors. And so we're going to talk about the different kinds of scams that you might encounter or your family member might encounter and how you can avoid being taken for money and other issues, other problems. So, Doug, why don't we start with you? Let's talk about scams.
Yeah, the scams are everywhere. That's true. They do hit every part of the population. And as we get more technologically advanced, so do they. Usually they're ahead of us, the general population. But some of the things work over and over and over again. And what people don't understand is, well, if that seems so blatant and it seems so obvious, why do they keep doing it? Well, because it works sometimes. So they're going to make money at it, particularly with vulnerable seniors. Maybe they're isolated, they're living alone, family is elsewhere, you know, and they've got their phones and different things like that. One of the ones that keeps resurfacing periodically is a phone call from someone that says, Grandma, I'm stuck in Idaho and I need money to get back to da 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 da. Now, again, they're targeting people that they know are on Social Security, they're in a certain age group. Chances are somehow they found out that they're living alone through some survey or something. And then, of course, being a good grandma, well, I need to send money and da-da-da-da-da-da. So that does happen sometimes. People, a lot of times, are a little quicker than that. They might say, well, which grandson is this? And there's, you know, then they usually hang up. But when it works is when you say, oh, dear, is this Timmy? Yes, it's Timmy, you know, so it goes that way. At a recent presentation I was doing, a woman said that a neighbor of hers got that, but it was an attorney that called, supposedly. I'm representing your grandson. He was in some trouble, da-da-da-da-da. If you wire me this amount of money, da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. And again, you know, the thing we say is, well, first double check to see if you actually have a grandson. That's always a good place to start. And then just confirm, you know, where they are and what's going on. And just say, you know, if it's legit, say, well, let me check and I'll get back to you. Well, you'll never hear from them again.
Yeah. They probably won't even have your number memorized. So chances of them calling back are probably slim.
Right. Because, yeah, it's just a random numbers. Another thing that happens, though, with the phone, and I don't know how they do it. I'm not a techie. But you'll get on your caller ID, it'll be a local number.
Yes.
Have a local
I've
prefix.
Seen that.
And you call that, and usually you get nothing. Or sometimes, as another person told me, I looked up that number in the phone book, and I thought, I don't know where a phone book is anymore. But anyway, she found the phone book, and she looked it up, and it actually belonged to someone that lived in the area that she lived. But, of course, she contacted them, and they said, no, I wasn't aware anybody was using my number or anything like that. So I don't know how they do that, but a lot of people will call it back because it's a local number. So that's another thing to look out for is the phones or, of course, the email scams. You know, the famous one is, you know, you send me $3,000 and I will send you $50,000 as Prince of Ethiopia or whatever it is. Good rule of thumb, too. If I got to spend money to get money, I probably shouldn't have to do that. So there's those type of things that go on.
Well, and they're getting so tricky with the even with a caller ID like Social Security,
yes.
It will come across as Social Security on your caller ID, and it's not Social Security.
Wow.
So when in doubt, I tell people, call the agencies directly yourself. So you don't need to – I would not give any of my personal information over the phone unless you're expecting that phone call from a particular person. But I even tell people – I give them my name and number. I go, you want to look it up and call the agency and ask for me? You can do that. I always invite people, if you don't want to talk to me right now and you want to verify this number, that's fine. And anybody from these respectable agencies, they should be very open and aware of that. If people are skeptical, we should honor that and let them call us back so they feel more comfortable. Absolutely. And I always show people where they can find phone numbers in reputable sources so that they can call. So if you got a phone call from Social Security and you weren't expecting one, I wouldn't answer it, and you call the Social Security office yourself.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
You know, one of the things that I one of the ways that I helped my dad deal with this when he was still alive and he was answering the phone, although he was pretty sharp even in his late 90s, because he got one of those grandpa, I'm in the, and he was onto him, and he went, "You're not my grandson," slam, click, and I thought, yay, dad.
Some
you
people
know?
Have fun with them. Yeah. Imagine Doug will when he starts receiving.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be getting, really? Well, how's he doing? You
know? Well, tell him I wish him well. Yeah. Hope he raises the bail money. But I told dad that if he got a call from anybody but me or from someone he did not know, if he didn't recognize their voice, but toward the end of his life, it was if anybody but me calls you, just hang up.
There
because there was nobody else who was going to call him. And right. if they did call and didn't get him, they would have gotten me because I was his caregiver. So that really helped him with a lot. And a lot of times I would just say, don't answer the phone. Don't waste your time answering the phone, because if I'm really that worried, I can come over and see how you are, you know.
Right.
And I want to add to that, because that's a very good point. Same thing goes to your door. If somebody comes to your door and you have a knock on the door and you're not expecting anybody, you're not obligated to answer that door.
That's right.
This
right.
is something my husband holds true for me and my kids at home. We are not to open the door if someone just knocks on the door. If it's somebody we know or something we're expecting, they'll call us and say, "Hey, I'm at your house," or they'll text us, "Hey, we're here. Can we come by?" You know, of course, you can go through the people, but if it's somebody that we don't recognize, why are we opening the door? It's so easy for people to push themselves in. So these are just basic safety things. If they're knocking at your door and it's someone you know and they're not getting a hold of you, they can call you. You know, they can
yeah.
just do things like
well,
that.
Well, they're also getting more sophisticated in, like you were talking, if Social Security's calling you, and you know, and they don't usually, but if you know that's what your caller ID
they
says,
just send letters. But you got to be careful.
That's
mail,
true.
Mail
yeah, because they are getting more sophisticated. Yeah. You can get letters. I went through this with my mother-in-law when she was living with us. Get letters from. What do they call it? The Bureau of Social Security, or,
yes.
or something so, else, and it
yes.
looks just like
looks
you know,
official.
So you have to look at that and double check that. She got a call from someone that said they were from Social Security. A lot of changes coming in the new year, and they want to make sure that people are getting the best coverage they can for their Social Security. And so we would like to stop by and talk with you about it. And so she called me, and I said, yes, Social Security doesn't really do home visits. They don't stop by to chat. And so I said, give me that information. So I called them. They said, well, yes, we work with Social Security. And I said, really? In what capacity? And it was an insurance company that was trying to sell extra coverage.
Oh, wow.
But they were convincing
wow.
people that they were somehow affiliated with Social Security.
Oh, my
Security,
gosh.
Right? So people were buying it's these policies perfect. That they didn't need. And that particular one got into some trouble and is no longer available in our area. But, they were doing it to several houses. And then they would
terrible.
Just say, no, we were just trying to, you know, make sure they had coverage they needed. So there's a lot of official-looking things and sounding things that come out there, and it's just not. One of the most blatant is I've got this email from Social Security, and they want me to give them my Social Security number to confirm it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't Social Security have your Social Security number?
Yes,
you know?
They will. Social Security, our agencies, we will not call you to confirm any information.
Mm-hmm.
No,
we just don't do that. And another one that was coming out is a lot of when people receive their new Social Security cards in the mail. They were, you know, your Medicare card is new Medicare numbers. Everybody should have received a new one. If you haven't, call Social Security. But anyhow, and they're paper copies. And what one scammer was doing was calling people saying, okay, those were the temporary ones. The plastic card's going to come out. And then they would call to verify information. And that's how they would get your Medicare.
Oh, that's pretty
clever.
Oh, my
gosh.
Even
that's
though,
sneaky.
I'd like to say this, too. Even though... the Medicare numbers are no longer your Social Security numbers. That your Medicare number is still very important
right.
to keep private, just like your Social Security number.
Right.
Because if that number gets in the wrong hands, somebody else can steal your medical information or use your medical mm-hmm. number to get their own equipment when right. you need something. It might get looked up going, oh, no, you've already had that, or you don't qualify for that.
Oh, my gosh.
So you have wow. to keep your – you shouldn't be carrying it in your wallet. Maybe if you're first time going to see the doctor and they don't have your new card number, that's understandable. If you're going to a Sheba Medicare appointment, we will need that, but we will tell you ahead of time. But it's a card just like your Social Security card, that just keep it locked away, fireproof, mm-hmm. safe, somewhere safe.
Mm, okay.
Well, one of the biggest frauds in the United States now is Medicare fraud.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It makes billions of,
wow.
We used to think of, because they talked about organized crime at this one training I was at. And, of course, the era I grew up with, I'm thinking, the machine guns and the cars running around, yeah. and everybody shooting everybody and the untouchables and all that stuff. And or at least, the more recent organized crime, you think of all the prostitution, drug running, all that kind of stuff. But they're making the most money right now out of Medicare fraud by phony invoices and all this. And like you said, if someone has your card, then they can bill that card. And that's why it's so important to get that your Medicare summary notice that you get. Go through that thing. Because there have been people in the past that went, I don't have an electric scooter. Where's that at?
Oh, my gosh,
because
yeah.
it's billed to them. Yeah. And, of course, nobody delivers it, but the money goes to this supposed supplier.
And same things go for, monitoring services and durable medical equipment, kind of to tail on to that. A company might send you another piece of equipment, another one, an updated one. You don't need an updated mm-hmm. one. I mean, mm-hmm. that needs to be reported, because mm-hmm. these are taxpayer dollars, too. And billions of dollars
right.
are going out the
wow.
door. And so if we can stop these companies from just sending things that you don't need, they shouldn't be doing that unauthorized, because that's
right.
taking advantage of, and then they're billing your Medicare for it, and they're making money, and you don't need it. So that's one thing to be aware of we need to stop this, because that's dollars just going out the
Absolutely.
Window, and
yeah.
that's affecting our system for everybody.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, there was one within the last couple of years that was advertising on TV a certain type of brace, and their big push was, it's absolutely free, we'll bill Medicare for you. Well, it turns out they were doing some other medical equipment also using that same thing, and Medicare was saying, no, we can't just authorize, pay you
yeah.
for something. You need a doctor's script, and we need a genuine script. And so there was all of that going on. And as things increase, like right now, everybody's doing all this DNA checking and ancestry and all
that.
Of that kind
yep.
of stuff. Well, now there have been kiosks in malls that say Medicare will pay for your DNA testing.
Or the genetic testing
yeah.
is another one, just pre-screen
yeah.
for cancers and things like
mm-hmm.
that.
And they won't.
No.
I mean, unless there's a doctor's need for it and a script for it.
Right, right.
But these people in the mall would say, you give us a sample and you pay us, we'll submit it to Medicare, they'll reimburse you. Well,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So.
Well, and with the genetic testing scams, there's some out there where, most of the genetic tests, they're not going to be covered through Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a bill for thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, literally. Like some of these tests are $10,000, $14,000.
Right.
So you have to, if you are getting a test for genetic, you have to make sure, is there a reason that your doctor needs to have this? And I'm not saying the doctor's doing it, because there's other third-party companies contacting people for this. But if your doctor's needing this because of a certain diagnosis, then you can call Medicare ahead of time to make sure it's going to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just doing the testing to see, do I have the cancer gene, things like that, you're going to end up with probably a bill up to around $10,000
Whoa.
Or more.
Whoa.
So that's something to really be aware of, because those labs can be pretty spendy.
Well, as far as people being vulnerable to this, for those of you who have older relatives that you may be caring for who might get a phone call or an email or somebody at the door, is that one of the things I noticed about my dad at that generation is that he felt like he had to answer the phone if it rang.
Mm-hmm.
He felt like he had to go to the door, if, like you were saying before.
Oh, right,
it was just sort of, you couldn't let the phone ring. And, I sort of have the attitude. So I remember one time saying to him, Dad, the phone's for you. It's not for everybody else. It's for you. It's for your convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to.
Great
it's
advice.
Your phone. And he was sort of perplexed by that. So I think,
mm-hmm.
That's trying to explain to your family member that phone is there for your convenience. It's yours. you don't have to just answer it because it rings. And, you know, we had to do some workarounds, like for a while, if I really wanted to call him, I'd say, let the phone ring. You know, I'll let the phone ring twice and then I'll hang up and call you back and then you'll know it's me. And that worked really well because I would say, I'm going to let it ring, hang up, and then I'll call you back. And that way he knew that when I was calling him, even though he didn't have, well, I was with the cell phone, he had caller ID, but he never really mastered the cell phone. That was kind of a struggle for him. But at any rate, we found workarounds for it. But in the end, he finally got to where he didn't feel like he had to answer the phone. But that was a tough one for him, I think.
Well, I think it is for that generation because it's bad manners.
Yes.
You know, it's like someone.
And there's also the authority figure thing,
responding.
Too.
It's, you know, it's rude to not answer
that. And also the sort of the respect for authority. Like the government is calling, you have to answer. You know, well, it's most of the time it's not the government, it's some person pretending to be the government. So what about emails? So we've been talking about phone and what kinds of emails? I mean, email's crazy anyway, but
tell people don't respond to any emails either. You know, go if there's a direct link in there, don't follow that link. I always advise go
because
look
of
up
viruses in the computer.
Yeah, exactly. And go look up that agency directly and go to the site. But you have to be so careful.
Well, you do. And we, in our jobs, we get to every once in a while something, I'm sure it happens in Oregon, just like Washington, you'll get this directive down from IT that says, okay, they're phishing again. If you see this email, don't open it up, don't read it, don't hit any links, just delete it automatically. Because the first few times that happened, I thought, okay, we've got like 19 firewalls, you know, to protect all the state and federal information. And these guys just can dive in, you know, but they're that tech savvy.
Wow.
And
wow.
A lot of times they'll have your name on it too. Hey, here's some information you requested some time ago, or so-and-so said you would like this information, hit this link. And, you know,
Suzanne, do that with a lot of shopping sites too, like Amazon and eBay and PayPal, they've all had scammers that do those phishing emails, which is basically an email that looks legit from a third party that you're reviewing it. Like, yeah, I ordered that. Yep. That is legit. And, oh, yeah, I just did. So I got this. And then they click whatever's in there. And so even I've heard that those companies say, always go directly to our website and log into your account rather than going through the email. So it's just good practice, I would say.
Absolutely.
Now.
Well, and also I know if you look at the websites or you have to really be looking to see whether where you're at is where you really are, where you think you're at is where you're at on the internet, because there can be fake websites too.
Yeah.
But and you know what? Another thing that just occurred to me is that a lot of older people are on Facebook, and Facebook's another social media is another opportunity to get totally lied to up and down,
is.
You know.
Let me tell you, with that being said, if you are on Facebook, a good site to be on is AARP Fraud Watch Network.
Oh.
And they have all kind of latest new things from the Inspector General warnings.
Yes.
And they also have something people can text to. So if you text FWN to 50757, you will receive biweekly alerts from AARP Fraud Watch Network. Now, if you go to Facebook and you go to their Fraud Watch Network, you can find this information there.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well,
that's
a
really
a
nice
source.
Resource. I knew AARP, they do a lot
of
scam jams in different counties, which are wonderful. But then to see that they have this too, that's a really easy resource to see what's going on. And then, of course, going to the Inspector General website too, and they've got a lot posted there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know just in general, if I'm looking at on Facebook and I see, you know, something on sale or whatever it is, I go find the company on their website. Mm-hmm. If I really want to order something, I just don't order things through Facebook because I've heard the horror stories of, I didn't really order that from that who I thought I was ordering it from kind of stories. But I guess it applies to scams too.
Oh, it does. And you know, thinking of scams and email and all of that, with the census coming up, people are going to get all kinds of things on their phone, you know, that says this is the U.S. Census Bureau on their ID or on their email. Oh, we're going to notify you. Well, there may be some communication of some point if they can't get a hold of you directly. It won't be an email to you. And one of the things that they do when they, between the mid-March and the end of March, we're all going to get something in the mail. Remember the mail? It's the stamp, the post office, those little buildings that are
little
there that no one goes into anymore. Anyway.
A little funny box at the bottom of the driveway with the hinge, a little door. That's what that's for.
It is. It's just for the census people. So, but they're going to be notifying people by mail, not by email. And it's going to run out by the end of this month. We should all have heard something. If they can't contact you, they may try alternate means to contact you. But they will contact you by mail. And then you'll receive an invitation about you can complete your census by phone or by mail or online or da-da-da-da-da-da. If they can't get a hold of you, you're going to see the people wandering around the streets, on census takers. And so it's another opportunity for scammers to look in and go, I can phone them and somehow make that ID say it's us. I can email them and say, you have to do this or else. And there's even been instances in the past where phony census takers have shown up at the door and threatened people that, if you don't fill this out, if you refuse to fill this out, then there's jail time involved and we'll send the authorities. And, of course, none of that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It is required. That's true. But, you're not going to have the SWAT teams come in and the black ops drop down and, pull you out of the house.
And make you fill out the form.
That's right. Okay, now we'll land and let you out.
Really?
But there are things that you need to do if they do come to your house. I mean, you need to see their picture ID with the logo for the U.S. Census Bureau on it. They'll have a handheld device. They'll have different identifications like that. And you absolutely, like you were talking about, you don't have to answer the door even. But if they're there and you've been expecting them because you said, well, I'd rather you come by or do, you absolutely have the right, and I would say you need to do it. Say, can I see your picture ID, please?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, well, I left it in the car, I say, well, good. When you get it, come back.
Yeah.
But don't fall for any of that. And they won't ask for your Social Security number. They won't ask for account numbers. They just want to know how many people are there, what kind of home you have, and that's basically it. So, but check the ID. There's a lot of people. I mean, think of the opportunity that gives to scammers. They're expecting people to come up and knock on their door.
Oh, my
gosh.
Hey.
Yep.
So, there's all of those. And there's numbers. Again, ARP has numbers. You can go to the U.S. Census Bureau, Google that, and they have the confirmation numbers. So if you did say your caller ID came in that said it was the Census Bureau and it has the number, you can go to that site and confirm that that's an actual number.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of safeguards in there.
And if you are, if you're not tech savvy, if you don't have a Google, you don't know where to call, every state has an ADRC, which is an information line. Some do a little bit more than others. Ours in Oregon, which it's an information assistance. You can type in your zip code, you call the number, and if you're looking for specific phone numbers to things, that's what they're there for, and they can help assist you.
Okay.
So that's the Aging and Disability Resource Center.
Oh, that's what ADRC is. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I was just about to ask you that.
It's kind of the equivalent of AAAs. AAAs are merging into ADRCs, so
we
get a lot of acronyms going, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Aging and Disability Resource Center. And so, that's for our agency, people will call that number. And with our particular one, we do screenings. Not everyone does all that, but we do screenings if people are looking for more information and help, and we've got connections for them. But if they're just calling for specific information, hey, I need help with movers. Oh, here's some phone numbers, or I'm looking for what's the Social Security number? Can you tell me this? And they'll do what they can to assist people with their resources.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a resource center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's throughout the country. There's different ones. And so if you call and you're calling from Multnomah County and you end up calling ours, they'll reroute you to the right area too. So yeah, it's a great place to go. And I can give you guys, that number too. This is the one for our area here. Do you want me to give it to you now or at the end?
Why don't we do it at the end?
Okay.
Could I throw one more thing out?
Absolutely.
Just
please
if somebody
do.
Wants to yeah. Google this and go to ARP, because ARP is a tremendous
right,
resource.
AARP.
Yeah. Okay. AARP, yeah, sorry. It's not ARP, ARP, ARP.
Sounds fun to say,
a lot
though.
A people yeah. are familiar with them, so yeah. it is pretty helpful.
But they have a section. If you go and you're looking in there, you can do U.S. Census warning signs, and they will have a printout that has do's and don'ts. And it
oh,
just
good.
Basically tells you what to do when they're contacting you, what not to do when they're contacting you. And it's all on a, you can even download it and print it out on a little thing and stick it on your fridge or your forehead or wherever you have to put it where you can keep track of it. But it's very clear and it's very step-by-step.
Mm. Well, I think the bottom line with a lot of these things is that people need to be, well, I guess they need to be very skeptical about anybody who approaches them. If anybody approaching you and wanting something from you, whether it's on the phone, email, or at your door, just be verify, 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 so that you're not doing something that you're going to regret. Because there's just, as we've been talking about here, census season is a time when they're targeting you. So you need
yeah,
to be
people are
particularly,
expecting people to come to their door.
Yes,
yeah.
And so that is a time to be exceptionally wary and protect. And so if you have loved ones who are a little bit vulnerable, you might want to help them. Or, you know, like we said before, it's really okay to not answer the phone. It's even okay to not answer the door. It's your house. It's your phone. If you don't want to do those things, you don't have to. And if somebody really needs to contact you, they will mail you something or contact you in a legitimate way. So you don't have to worry that you're breaking a rule or something by not answering the phone
right.
or not answering. You're not going to get in trouble for not answering your own phone or going to your own door.
Mm-hmm.
So we are at the point in the show where now. So if you have questions about this, you can also call the people who represented here, the two agencies that are represented here in the room, the Northwest Senior and Disability Services and the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. So Suzanne, can you tell us how to get in touch with your agency?
Yeah, they can call. I'm going to give you the ADRC number, which
is
503-304-3420. By calling that, if you need any resource, they are kind of the first step in the door with contacting our agency. And you will get Northwest Senior and Disability Services through that. That's our ADRC. And they'll funnel your questions, your needs, to the appropriate place. Maybe they can answer it, or if it needs to go to somebody specific in our agency, they can funnel you that way. Our office direct line is 503-861-4200, and online is nwsts.org.
Okay, and that is in Oregon. And now, Doug, you are Washington, so what do people need to know
right.
about your
for
agency?
For our South Pacific County office, it's 360-642-3634. For our North Pacific County in Raymond, it's 360-942-2177. And our website is www.o3, and that's the numerical 3, o3a.org.
And that's the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Well, you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm here in the studio with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Suzanne Bjornson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. We've been talking about scams, especially ones that are targeted at seniors. And so you need to be, if you are a senior or someone who is caring for a senior, have senior members of your family, you need to, think about this and use this information to help your family members stay protected against being defrauded, being robbed, being swindled out of their money. There are all sorts of sneaky possibilities out there that we want you to be aware of. So thanks for listening to A Senior Moment, and we'll see you next month.